we get to pick who gets to stand. Oh, Pastor gets to pick who gets to stand behind here. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. How many's glad to be in church tonight? Amen. Evidently you are. You're here. Amen. You have braved the cool weather. And you will have to bear with me. Amen. I feel like a dry camel that's been on a month journey. I have no idea why, but it's just the enemy trying to make me nervous. Amen. Amen. I love the song Sister Lindsay sang tonight. She was singing those songs, those last two, and it painted such a picture. And it goes right along with what I'm going to talk about tonight. Like I said, bear with me. I don't want to lose my voice in the first 5 minutes here tonight. You might want me to. Amen. Hurry up and get this thing over with. Amen. So the birthday, Brother Isaac, you're supposed to be in my corner. Amen. Amen. I'm going to reduce your pay. Amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles with you here tonight, amen, go ahead and wave them at me. Amen. I feel like I'm at a concert. I've seen a lot of screens. Amen. I might have to switch to a cup before the end of my sermon tonight. Oh, if somebody gets tired, I'll throw one of these bottles at you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've had this message on my heart for several weeks. And that doesn't mean I'm going to preach really, really long. Amen. It means you're going to pray really, really hard real quick here in just a minute that I preach really, really short. Everybody said amen. How many knows it's important to be able to see? Yeah. Everybody likes to be able to see when someone is talking about something. Hey, Isaac, just find any random slide that's in there and just throw one up there. Just pick something crazy. And we're just going to, I want to give you guys, visual aid is important. Like whenever we come to service, we have the welcome sign. Oh, here we've got a clay pot. Throw something else up there, Isaac. See, I don't know what's going to be next. But Brother Isaac is in control of something. He is casting his vision on the rest of us. Old Wild West town. Amen. Looks very welcoming. It's pretty empty. It's a ghost town. There's a wanted poster. If I look at it real close, kind of squint my eyes, it looks like Brother Robert. Amen. What are you wanted for there, brother? Amen. Go and throw something else up, Brother Isaac. He's in control. I don't know what he's going to pick. But when he picks something, we get visual aid. And automatically, if we were going to talk about someone welding here, we would need Brother Shelton. He could give us some great insight. As Brother Tim, he went to school for this. Thank you, dear. How many knows? A little shocking there for a second. Amen. How many knows it's important to be able to give someone a vision of what you're talking about? Brother Jason and I have went out to folks' houses and painted out pools, and he's painted out barn pads. And painting out a barn pad or a house pad's a little bit easier because then you give it to somebody else to design. But I get to design all the pool stuff. I've been going back and forth. And Andrew, if you're watching, I know you've watched some of this before. I'm going to talk about you for just a moment. We're on our third draft on the design, changing some things up. But he has something in his mind, and I have something in mind. So I have to design it and then give it to him. And then we go back and forth with each other so that we're able to achieve the perfect vision. Because our goal, I should have brought one of my cards and put it up on there, but it says here, anybody, the plug for Trailblazer Pools. It says on our card, it says, design, transform, and enjoy. Now, whenever you pass, this all has something to do with my message. Isaac, you're not supposed to put that up till I'm ready, brother. Amen. He's in control. I'm not in control. What this card, a business card, does when you put it in someone's hand, it gives them visual aid of what you offer. Brother Weston, you have one of these cards. Here you go. Now you've got one. But if Brother Weston was looking for for something that I had to offer. That card has a list on the back that shows what we have to offer. And I want to talk to us and encourage us as we enter in the holiday seasons. We have Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're around a lot of lost family. Some of us might go to Black Friday shopping. I pray for you. I was in Walmart yesterday to go grab something real quick, and I turn around at the self-checkout. There's 75 people in line. And I said, oh no. Do what? I'm looking for the shortest line. Vision is important. So if you got your Bibles, go to Habakkuk chapter number 2 and verse number 2. Very common scripture. We all know it. I'm sure we do. Amen. If you don't, you're going to hear tonight. Amen. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Now, how many here tonight can run and read at the same time? I know a lot of people have a hard time walking and chewing bubble gum. You say, I have met some folks that are that way. And now I've actually seen in some cities, they actually have a little sign, do not text and walk. You seen that sign? Like, there's places in New York and stuff have a little sign. It's probably not as busy there as it used to be. But there is places where they want you to have all the attention on what you're doing. But can you imagine having such a vision and such, it made so simple yet so powerful that you could explain it to everyone as you are running? So what is it when a candidate, whenever we go to have an election, there's usually a set of candidates, one on the Republican side, one on the Democrat, now we have Libertarians and the other, whichever one that's going to be. They all put out posters to try to give you in one picture what they represent. Now, what I want to talk to the church here tonight is whenever we're running about doing things in our life, what kind of vision are we casting? Lord, I ask you here tonight that you would minister, God, in this service. I pray that you would help my mind to be made clear. Lord, help it to speak what you have put in it. And let my heart, Lord, let it bring forth every thought, Lord, and every burden that you have placed in there. I pray that you would anoint this place, Lord, anoint these lips, Lord, and prepare our hearts for these altars. In your name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You can start the recording now, Brother Isaac.
Oh, man.
Vision. Now, in this picture, it shows a clear image here that it's blurry on the outsides and clear in that little frame. Now, vision is important. We can find in Proverbs, where there is no vision, what? The people perish. How many likes to perish? How many likes to suffer? Do you know that we as Christians can cause other people to suffer? We heard here tonight that the things of heaven is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. Well, sometimes we have a hard time with that. I wasn't sure how I was going to fit that in my message, but I just did. Amen. We have to be casting that vision. How am I able? And me and Brother Jason and Brother Robert, we all know this because of the type of work that we do. We can walk into a room or a building and we can see, you know, this can be changed and this can be done, and begin to create a vision for someone and create a destination. How many of us here tonight have a destination in mind? All right, I hope none of it was the Bahamas. I hope none of it was Paris or Ireland somewhere. I hope it was heaven. Because if we live with heaven on our mind, we will have joy and we will have peace and we'll be working on righteousness. Because righteousness is not something that we can just grab up. It's something that is worked in us. Anybody here got a righteousness plant back at home that you're watering? I didn't think so. God wants to build that in us. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. But he builds that righteousness inside of us so that we can show forth that vision of what we are becoming. Amen. I'm going to quit going around that mountain. Amen. We're going to go on north. Amen. Vision is vital. We can find in Acts chapter number 2. And we find here in this section of scriptures where, speaking of what the prophet Joel had spoken, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. This word vision in the Greek means to be gazed at by capable of being seen, something that is simple as visible. Whenever we go about in this life, we should have such an anointing upon our lives that it should be something that should be visible, something that should be cast about everywhere that we go. And it is a lot easier for us to say, to come to as a corporate group and say, we as a church have a vision. Now I'm going to ask you guys a question. Some of you all wasn't here when we first moved into this building, so I will give you leniency on this because you don't know. Well, some of us have been here a while. Can anybody tell me what our hashtags were? Sister Addison. Real people, real faith. Are we that, when we wore those shirts, we wore them to several functions. What were we doing? As the church body, we were casting a vision of what Calvary Lighthouse represented. But let me tell you something. Not only have I come to admonish, you know, we as the body, we are the church. We find in Ephesians, I'm going to bring this all home here. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saints. How many in here wants to be perfect? We should be striving towards perfection. Of the saints, grab a hold of this. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in, grab a hold of this, the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, grab a hold of this, of the fullness of Christ. How are we able to obtain all these things? What this scripture is bringing in correlation here is there is a whole bunch of things that actually doesn't fit together that's being molded and shaped and molded into what? Into the body. How many years ever had a joint out of place? Feels wonderfully bad, doesn't it? I have my hip, and I can tell when it's starting to go out because I'll notice on a pair of my shoes, I'll start wearing one a little bit worse than the other. And I know, Brother Jason, that I've got to get to the chiropractor because when that puppy goes out, I am down for the count. I'm going to be calling a couple of you brothers saying, you're going to have to carry me to the chiropractor because something's out of sort. We must keep our vision in a position where it is constantly being built. We must first of all cast a vision so that someone that is running can run and read it and tell all. But if our vision is something that can simply be fulfilled in one generation, it will only last the next generation, and then it is dead. So let me ask you, church, do you have any vision? We find here in verse number 14, I'm going to continue reading in Ephesians here. I almost said Ephesus. Might as well let you laugh at me. Make sure you're awake. Amen. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. I wish I could really just break this down. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is talking of people that want to mar your vision. If we are not careful, we can be so zealous and so excited that sometimes we will outrun our purpose. Listen to me for just a second. I want to break this down and teach it for just a moment. Sometimes we will outrun the vision that is put in front of us. And whenever we outrun the vision, we get into a place and a position where we begin to deceive ourselves. And when deception is revealed to others, they walk away with questions saying, I don't think I want to go there. I don't think I want to be around that person. Now, that's hard to hear. Nobody likes to be caught in a web of lies. Anybody here like that? No, I didn't think so. I don't either. That's why we must be patient and allow ourselves to come and grow as Christ would have us to grow. Amen. Got to move on here. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase. Everybody say increase with me. Ready? One, two, three. All right, say it again. One, two, three. Of the body unto edifying of itself in love. What does love do? Perfect love casteth what? Out all fear. Sometimes we wonder why our vision runs short. Because we've quit operating in love. We've started operating in what I want and what I think and how I want to do it. But let me tell you, church, if we want to see the growth in our own spiritual life, if we want to begin to train the next generation to grab a hold of the torch and realize there's something for them to do, we've got to begin to cast the vision in such a way that they can begin to see that not only is there a place for them to work, but there is a place, grab a hold of this, for them to improve the work. We don't like it when people come to our idea and our vision and want it changed. And this is hard. The Lord's working on me with this. Because sometimes we get an idea. This is how I want it to be. And that's all great and dandy. Brother Jason, there's somebody out there that might have a new twist on this that's going to help the generation that's growing beside me to pick up it and carry it farther than what I ever dreamed. But Brother Robert, it takes me being sensitive and compassionate to give someone else room, not only to give input. This next one's hard, but to give them room to make a mistake. In the movement in which we are in, this is one phrase I've heard all my life. Well, they're just not quite ready yet. I heard that whenever I got called to preach. Well, you're just not quite ready yet. It wasn't until someone that knew nothing about it had faith in me enough to take me under the wing and start teaching me that this Jesus, whenever he called his disciples, he put them to work. But sometimes in the realm that we are in, we say, well, that was then. But if Jesus did it that way, shouldn't we be doing it the same way? How is it we have a better idea than Christ? This is hard. This is God working in me. And I'm just being, it's just us and whoever's on Facebook. Amen. But it's a lot easier for me to say, well, they need to do this, this, and this. But I find Christ. He grabbed a couple fishermen, a tax collector. You guys didn't know nothing. What did he do? We find not just a few short years later, Brother Jason, he sent them all out in groups and said, now, I want you guys to go out, and I want you to go out and witness. I want you to heal the sick. I want you to preach the gospel, and I want you to be a light. Christ went out and sought these men. Why is it that we so many times are fearful to seek out someone to come in and help? We don't seek out somebody to fill the seat next to us. Even though we know someone that could sit in that seat. Is it because my vision isn't clear? Whenever I'm running around in this world, Sister Pepper, am I casting such a vision that shows a welcoming position and place? Or do I cause people to be fearful because I'm out running God's purpose and I'm trying to fulfill my own plan? And I ought to turn this into a series. Amen. Teach it to the young people. Amen. I don't have much here left, I promise. I know. Vision is not to just help the current generation to have something to work towards. It is to successfully secure a launching pad for the next generation to carry on and add to the vision. And I made reference to this earlier. If your vision can be carried out in your lifetime, it will only survive one generation. Vision. What is vision? Vision is not just to help. Sorry, I've started reading over again here. Vision is the ability to see God's presence, to perceive God's power, to focus on God's plan in spite of all the obstacles. Vision is the ability to see above and beyond the majority. Vision is perception, reading the presence and the power of God into one's circumstance. I sometimes think of vision as looking at life through the lens of God's eyes, seeing the situations as He sees them. Too often we see things not as they are, but as we are. Think about that. Vision has to do with looking at life with a divine perspective, reading the scene with God in clear focus. Whoever wants to live differently in the system must correct his or her own vision. We must realize vision is not what we think it needs, what we think it should be. It should be what He wants it to be. And I have had to learn, and I'm still learning. I'm trying something new in advertising, just throwing it out from a different angle, throwing out just some different designs and some basic stuff, kind of elementary to some people. Why am I doing it different? Because nobody else is doing it. Different. Sometimes whenever we do something different, it catches people's eye. And if we catch people's eye, we've caught their attention, and they're going to begin to follow along. What's going on here? And if we keep casting that vision in such a way that before you know it, they're no longer watching the vision, they are now a part of the vision. Vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time. Vision without action can change the world. Joel Barker made this statement. In the 70s, he was looked at as someone that had an unorthodox view, talking about the paradigm. They looked at him and said, "You're crazy. We'll never sell one of your books." 250 million books sold. "You won't sell a single one of your video teachings you do on how to help businesses grow." Over 1 million copies of that video has been sent out. Why? He was willing to stand on the edge and throw something out there. And whenever it caught traction, it began to grow. Listen, church, we do not have to build traction. The traction is already here. We've just got to start the engine, honey. And we got to push the foot feed. God's put the tires on this thing, and it's not done moving. But sometimes, and this is just what God's been speaking to me, is that if I don't allow His vision to first of all be thrown into me, then how in the world am I going to be able to throw it out to catch anybody else? What is it Jesus told Peter and John and Andrew and James? He said, "Hey boys, no longer are you going to go out and just go fishing and catch some fish. But I'm going to make you fishers of men." We find Peter going back out. Whoever wants to come back to the piano, honey, I hope you do, or Sister Pepper, come dig me out of this pan I've cooked up cooking oil to. We find Peter still going out and catching some fish from time to time. Find he goes out to pay his taxes. Yeah, it would sure be nice, wouldn't it, Bro Jason? If all we had to do to take care of taxes is just go down to Ulagaw, throw a line in, and pull in one fish to pay our taxes. Sign me up. But he never lost focus. He might have wavered from time to time, but he always realigned. Because Christ told him, he said, "Peter," whenever Peter said, "You are the Christ, who told you this?" "Well, I just know. There's all these things you're doing." I'm paraphrasing. This is from Lucas's commentary. It'll be for sale after church for one low price of 99 cents. You can subscribe to it monthly if you'd like. What we find that Peter realized whenever Christ came to him and told him, "Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church." It didn't mean Peter was going to be the church. But he was telling Peter, and not just Peter, but also all the disciples around about him, "I'm going to get people like you." The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the know-it-alls, they are not going to win the thousands or the hundreds. They're going to only win the few. Peter went, revival started all over the place. What do we find? Who do we find that picks? Grab a hold of this with me tonight. Who do we find that pick the men that were to serve? One of those men was Stephen. Who was it that picked these men? It was the disciples. Peter was one of the, he was the head honcho, in case you all didn't know. He just was. He was the one that opened his mouth and inserted his foot all the time. That's why Jesus wanted to make sure they were washed. Who was it that had an effect on Paul's life? As they were stoning Stephen, and as Stephen looked up and seen Jesus Christ standing, we find all throughout Scripture that he's sitting, but here we find him standing, telling Stephen, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Keep casting that vision. Church, as we go into these holiday seasons, we are going to encounter people that have no hope. They have no vision. But we have this hope in earthen vessels. We have this treasure. We've got to cast it. I want to challenge the church as a collective body to catch a new vision. Have you found yourself spinning out lately? Catch the vision. Have you found yourself wondering what's next? Catch the vision. Catch a hold, grab a hold of what God's purpose and plan is. His purpose and plan is for us to not just make heaven. Everybody would stand with me. His purpose is not for us just to simply sit in our pew and not have anybody beside us. His plan is for us to have somebody new. Vision without action is merely a dream. Let's quit dreaming. Let's get to doing. Time is short. I know a handful of people right now that is living in sin. Well, Jason, I've got to show them the vision, the hope, the help, the miraculous things of God Almighty. But it comes whenever we have a burden for His vision. I can't see the vision anymore, Brother Lucas. Well, if you can't see the vision anymore, you need to do a little bit of looking inside. Have I done somebody wrong? Have I cheated somebody? Have I lied? Have I not been fully truthful about something? Sometimes those things is the winds and the storms that toss us to and fro. And then all of a sudden we're dizzy. We don't know up from down and left from right. We've got to stop and say, Lord, let me get in line with your vision again, because I want to make a difference. Amen. Come up to the altar tonight. Amen. Let's find ourselves a place to pray. Let's catch a new vision, a new look on heaven. Say, Lord, here am I. Open up my eyes. Let me see you. Let me begin to follow in all of your will and all that you want me to be. Amen.